Friend and neighbor, this is Phil Nee signing off for now. So we put the wraps on the morning session, put our little records away. We'll bring in some folks for community conversation on the morning show next hour on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. News this hour is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. Good morning. It's 54 degrees.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Stormy Daniels returning to the witness stand in Donald Trump's hush money trial this morning as the defense tries to undermine the credibility of the adult film star's salacious testimony about the encounter she says she had with Donald Trump and the money she says she was paid to keep quiet about it. The former president denies the allegations. The current president, President Biden, telling CNN that the U.S. will stop its sums weapons shipments to Israel if it moves ahead with a planned widespread offensive in Rafah. Ascension, a major healthcare network, scrambling this morning after a reported cyber attack that's affecting 140 hospitals across 19 states. This isn't the first time a healthcare company has been attacked. Just this past February, a subsidiary of United Health Group, the largest insurer in the country, was the victim of a ransomware attack. In this case, Ascension hired an outside third party to investigate. Another round of rough weather hitting Georgia, Mississippi, and Tennessee today. This is ABC News. Victory Day celebrations in Moscow's Red Square, marking the defeat of the Nazis.
The display this year, even more boisterous, more patriotic. Observing the parade, senior military officials and President Putin. Addressing the crowd, the Russian leader struck out at Western elites, who he says are responsible for inciting new regional conflicts and inter-ethnic hostility to, in his words, restrain independent centers of world development. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
New concerns about guns in cars. An analysis of FBI data from the gun safety group Everytown shows that the rate of guns being stolen from cars has tripled in the last 10 years. Cars now the number one source of stolen guns. The interpreter for Dodgers great Shohei Ohtani now agreeing to plead guilty in his fraud case. Prosecutors say he stole millions. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 10 Monday through Sunday with all of your lunchtime favorites, burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center pizza. Or call ahead, 649-7469 for carryouts. From the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
We cannot change the circumstances or magically erase the pain of loss, but we can listen and serve you with compassion and understanding at a time when compassion and understanding go a long way. I'm Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. Our promise to you is to be patient, considerate, and professional, serving you as you wish to be served. It has been our priority since 1889 at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Today's forecast calls for a high of 60 degrees with periods of rain tapering off this afternoon. Decreasing clouds, but chilly tonight. A low down to 42 with some patchy fog. And then looking at Friday, sunny in the morning, then increasingly cloudy. 68 for a high. Showers ending later Friday night and 45. For Saturday, seasonal and breezy with a good amount of sunshine and 68. By Sunday, 77 with a 40% chance of a few showers or thunderstorms. Currently in Richland Center, after the early morning reading of 66, we have received 8/100ths of an inch of rain, and it is 54 degrees.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Welcome to Richland Family Restaurant Studios, where great taste is more than just music.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO Radio. Today, we're talking with members of Richland County Health and Human Services, and we're going to talk about some upcoming things and some important things to keep in mind and maybe educate you a little bit as well about some things that are going on. Here in the studio with us today include Alicia Woodhouse. Also, Alice Lawrence Retram is here, and Evan Ewing. And Alice, we'll start with you since you're a morning show veteran. Good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you.
You're excited about some of the things that you have to talk about today. What can you tell us about your job and what you do?
Well, I work, of course, Richland County Health and Human Services. I'm in the Behavioral Health Unit and Clinical Services, which means I am the nurse for our providers. We do psychiatric services. Our psychiatrist and mental health nurse practitioner provide psychiatric evaluations and psychotropic medication management. So that means people that are patients that are on like antidepressants, anti-anxieties, our providers manage those medications. So if there's a problem and they need a change in dosage, they take care of that and see our patients. They're there two times a week between the two of them for right now. And then in August, our nurse practitioner will be there weekly also with our psychiatrist. So that's going to be a great addition coming in August. And then we have Dr. Sainer, who is our psychologist. And what he does is testing and evaluation for diagnosis, assessment, and treatment recommendations. So his testing involves cognitive testing, behavioral testing. We do a lot of children, preteen, but it's also for anybody. So we can help diagnose whether it might be ADHD or an oppositional disorder where you feel like your preteen is maybe a little back-talking or stuff like that. But it might be a different issue. It might be a learning disability. And we try to help them figure that out. And Dr. Sainer is there twice a month. Right now, our waiting list is around 3 months. I try to get everybody in as soon as we can, but sometimes I can't help it. There is a high referral right now, especially over the summer where parents want children to be tested besides at school to get ready for the next year of what they might need regarding learning assistance. So basically the overview of the Behavioral Health Unit is that we provide a continuum of services to Richland County residents, only Richland County residents, range from a brief crisis intervention to intensive long-term treatment services. Behavioral health services helps individuals and families who are experiencing an acute emotional distress crisis, addiction, short-term mental health issues, or persistent mental health issues and substance abuse disorders.
someone who is hearing this, is it income-based to make these appointments or
No.
Okay.
No, I don't have a lot to do with the business end of it, but I know when I do intakes, I ask for their insurance information, and once that's cleared, then they let me know to go ahead and schedule.
I see. And what days of the week, again, do you schedule those appointments with the specialists?
Tuesdays with our nurse practitioner, Thursdays with our psychologist, and Fridays with our psychiatric doctor.
You're kind of a one-stop shop, aren't you?
Yeah, I try. We try to service everybody in need, and I'm the nurse that does the scheduling and talks to all the patients. So it benefits me, and that way I know who's seeing who, and I do the scheduling and the background information, and I really get to know them and haven't had too many issues thus far.
So. What excites you about going to work? What do you like about your job?
The providers. They're all very easy to talk to. That's what the patients tell me, and I enjoy working with them. Like I said, they're just really easy to talk to. And we see children from ages 6 on up. I think our oldest patient is late 70s.
Okay.
So they see a variety of people in their situations, whether they need help with learning disabilities, like I talked about the ADHD, or whether they're having anxiety or depression, and all of them seem to say very good things about our providers.
So a lot of those things, just trying to get ahead of it, nip it in the bud, so to
speak.
Yes,
that's the main goal. The sooner you come to us, I think the sooner you can see positive results.
What's the best way to contact you?
Richland County Health and Human Services, 647-8821.
Okay. We're going to move over a little bit here and talk to Evan Ewing, who's across the table. We appreciate you coming in here to join us. Public Health Specialist Evan Ewing, tell me what CHIP stands for. I'm curious.
So CHIP stands for Community Health Improvement Plan. So public health units that are seeking to maintain accreditation, they're required to conduct a community health assessment, and we refer to that as the CHAW. So if I refer to CHAW and CHIP, they're kind of simultaneously delivered by the public health unit, and that happens in every county or most counties within the state of Wisconsin. And the hospitals actually have to do a CHAW and CHIP as well. And so the CHAW is the assessment portion, and so we gather important health data from the community through phone surveys, online surveys, key stakeholder interviews, community forums, and all that data together, we address the health needs that are identified, and that's the community health improvement plan portion. The CHIPs are delivered on either a 3 or 5 year cycle. And that's kind of up to the health department to decide what cycle we want to utilize. And it just happened to line up with the hospital the last time. So the hospitals have to run on a 3 year cycle, and we're on the 5 year cycle. And I think it was because of the COVID-19 pandemic that it kind of aligned really well with the hospital for our last CHIP and CHAW cycle. So that's a kind of just an overview on background on that.
And what kind of data do you look at then?
So The data that's collected from the phone surveys, online surveys, all those methods that I mentioned, we utilize that, like I said, to identify those priority health issues. From some of the data within the 2022 Richland County Health Survey, that's the survey that we used as part of the CHAW, we saw that almost 20% of the respondents identified their own mental health as poor, and 15% also rated their access to mental health care as poor. So when looking at 20%, it's a fairly large amount, I would say. And then 15%, you know, they're viewing their access as poor as well. When we look at crisis contacts, there was 3,369 in the year of 2020. And that's an increase of 66% compared to the year prior. Just some other data related to mental health. We had 23 suicides in 2021. And 15% of adults in the county reported 14 poor mental health days per month, which was a 4% increase since 2018. So if you're looking at a month, 30 days, roughly, that's almost half the month that some people are reporting poor mental health days. So kind of some alarming stats, and I think that's where mental health was identified as one of our priority areas within our CHIP. Some of the data for substance misuse, and I refer to it as misuse because we're referring to adults. So like adults can use alcohol legally, but binge drinking alcohol would be misuse of that substance. Whereas substance use would be for youth because they shouldn't be using substances like alcohol. So when we look at that, there were 19 drug overdoses in 2021 in our county, and alcohol was the most common substance. In 2020, one third of all motor vehicle crash deaths were attributed to alcohol use. So alcohol is the main substance that we've targeted with our community health improvement plan. And so the two main priority areas that we're focused on are mental health and substance misuse, primarily for adults on those ends. That's kind of the overall summary of some of that data.
2020, I mean, that was a challenging time for us. And so maybe some of those numbers are skewed a little bit with, you know, the pandemic was going on at that time and everything.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, isolation was a factor in that as well. But I think just experiencing a global pandemic is something that is going to, you know, jar your mind a little bit and definitely pose some challenges for sure.
Do you know how those numbers compare? Have you looked at other counties and how Richland County compares in that stat?
I haven't. I know there's a good resource called the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps, and we use some of that data in our CHAW. But you can see by county in the state, and you could do it for any state in the United States, and they rank every county based on health metrics. So you can kind of go into those, and they have a lot of different health data that you can look at for that. So it's really interesting to see. I'm not sure off the top of my head where Richland County ranks. I believe it was maybe 32nd. I'm not sure how many counties there are in the state total, but
72.
Okay. Yep. So I think we were 32 at the time that the CHAW was done. So it may be a little bit different now, but yeah.
And as far as some of the numbers, you know, for the county, any reason, you know, for those factors that you can see?
Yeah. So we refer to those as causal factors, and they're listed in our CHAW as well. And the CHAW and CHIP are accessible on the Richland County Health and Human Services website, so you can freely view these. But when looking at some of the factors that contribute to mental health and substance misuse, stigma is a big factor. So stigma is a set of unfair beliefs that society or a group of people have about a topic. So with stigma, that can make it more challenging for some individuals to seek out services. I think it's maybe somewhat coming around a little bit for mental health, but with substance misuse, you know, you could imagine if you were addicted to a drug, it may be intimidating or scary to be open about that and seek the help that you need. Isolation, I mentioned, was a factor. I know the ADRC was in here last week, I believe, and they talked about Powered by Connection being the theme for Older Americans Month. And so that's kind of, I think, more of a common theme among older adults is isolation. So I think that can contribute to some mental health challenges as well. Lack of services is a causal factor, access to services. With substance misuse, some of the things that were reported in the CHAW were cultural acceptance. So in Wisconsin, you've probably heard the phrase drink Wisconsinably. And I think there's a overall, like a binge drinking culture where sometimes that habit is celebrated by individuals. So that could lead to developing a substance misuse issue with alcohol. Peer pressure, I think, is a common one that most people are familiar with. And then using substances to cope with, you know, tragedy or things that happen in your life, mental health issues. So those were some of the causal factors that were identified within our county that contribute to those issues with mental health and substance misuse.
Very timely too, with graduations coming up and, you know, parties for the summer and things like that.
Yeah, so Definitely. I think peer pressure is one that I think that, you know, we have. When I was in school, we had Counteract, and you're in fifth grade, I believe, when you have that, and then it's not really talked about that much after. And so I think peer pressure could extend even up to adulthood if you have a certain group of friends that are pressuring you to utilize different substances. So you could see that maybe as young as middle school, but then definitely around graduation time and maybe even beyond.
Do you work with other organizations like Partners for Prevention and those
kind
of things?
Yeah, we do. So part of the implementation of our CHIP is to have two work groups, and we've actually partnered with Partners for Prevention, and they have an alcohol work group. And so our substance misuse work group is collaborating with them to work on strategies. We're targeted more on for adults, but then they're focused more on youth. But it all goes together. If you think of like social hosting, like a parent that's allowing their kids to drink alcohol in their home, it's kind of all connected a little bit with that. So we're partnered up with them. Another group that we've had some involvement with is the Southwestern Wisconsin Behavioral Health Partnership. They have a really great resource called the Network of Care, and I'm not sure exactly the counties. I think it's like Lafayette, Richland, Grant, and there's a few more. But this website's really cool. It has like a map feature where you can put in your zip code and it will show local mental health and substance misuse resources and help. And then you can also translate the entire webpage into Spanish. So it's kind of reducing a barrier there too for individuals that may only speak one language. So I think it's a really, really cool resource to utilize. And hopefully we're going to work with them a little bit more as we deliver the chip to the community.
We asked Alice, but what about you? What do you love about your job or coming to work?
I would say being a part of my community, serving others in the community. I moved back to Richland Center from California, lived out there for 5 years, and was really excited to see this opportunity come up, just to be able to dive right back into my hometown and directly serve my community. So I think that's the most exciting part. We do a lot of different stuff in public health, from, you know, rabies prevention or like animal bite prevention, all the way to immunizations and then the chip and chaw delivery. But I think at its core, helping people is the through line there. So I just love helping people and feeling like I'm a part of the community.
The challenges that California sees will be a little bit different than Southwestern Wisconsin too, right?
Yeah, of course. California is so densely populated that you know, you could have one town that has 100,000 people, like double or almost the size of, I believe, La Crosse, maybe even be double La Crosse. And then right next to it is another town that has that many people. And so there's a lot of different health issues. I think the COVID-19 response was what was so shocking to me, the difference of people, you know, how they responded to that in different areas, I think was probably the most alarming. But over there, I wasn't working directly in public health at that time. So if I was, I'd be curious to see what that comparison would be like.
It's an important morning show we're doing today. Alisa Woodhouse is here as well. Alisa, as you look at this month, why is it an important show to do here on the morning show?
Well, it's May Mental Health Month, which has been, so the whole month is, I guess, when we would pay attention to mental health and the issues that are involved in that. May 5th to the 11th is actually Children's Mental Health Week, so that's why we're very excited to be on here this morning. So we had a group that has been getting together for a while. It's been since the 80s. It's called the Richland Children Family Advocacy Council. And we have a smaller group, a committee that has been working on some different activities for specifically this week of Children's Mental Health Week, but also for the whole month. So one of the most important things, of course, was being here this morning. But the other thing, there's a couple other things that I wanted to talk about. One thing, we are going to be at the Chamber, Coffee with the Chamber. That's going to be next week, early in the morning. There's going to be several of us talking about some of these same issues, but also we're hoping to have some students from Ithaca join us who will be talking about strengthening its sources of strength. So that's a program that they do, and they'll be able to talk about that. Another thing that's happening is we are having, there's a community book read that's going to be the book itself is available at the Brewer Library, and it's called What Happened to You. It's a book that we've actually done as a community several years ago, but we have them, and so it's still a valuable, if you haven't had a chance to read it, it's by Oprah and Dr. Perry. And it is Conversations on Trauma, Resilience, and Healing. And it's a very easy way to, there's lots of stories involved. So it's a very easy way to, access that every story really, where does the story of trauma begin, and mental health and development, and how to heal from that in a really positive way. And there's science sprinkled in there, but in a really way, in a way that makes a lot of sense to people. There's, I believe, a couple audiobooks also available, so if that's easier to... So those are available. We have a couple trifold in informational tables at the library, and then also at the community center, where there's pamphlets on a lot of different programs that are available. And I think that's mostly what we're doing to bring awareness to mental health, and particularly to children's mental health, this month, this week also. And then I also wanted to talk a little bit about one of the specific programs that that I work with Richland County Health and Human Service. So that is why, one of the reasons I get to, I guess, go around and talk to people, be on the RCCFAC and in the ACEs, which ACEs is Adverse Childhood Experiences. And that is a score that a person gets. And then, I guess, Alice, you might even know more too about the ACEs. But it's a person, if you have a certain number of experiences that have been identified. It was a study that was done like in the 70s, and they looked at 10 different experiences that a child might have had, and it ranges from abuse to homelessness to even losing a parent, things like that, having a parent in prison. And there's a direct correlation to how many of those a person might have experienced as a child and health outcomes. And so those health outcomes might be everything from heart conditions. It's not a cause, but there's a very strong correlation. And now there's also been more studies more recently that also they look at a slightly larger number of adverse childhood experiences, which might include bullying, for example. And so that is something that, as those that work with children's mental health, that we're looking at preventing mental health challenges later on in life. And so how can we prevent as many of those ACEs as we can? So that is one of the ways that we look at with programming for children is how do we support those children and those families? And that is kind of a passion of mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sounds like it. I know you go out and you speak to different groups and things like that about what you do, don't you?
Sometimes.
Uh-huh. So, and everybody's journey is different too, Alicia. You know, you talk about what one child or student is facing, but unfortunately it's kind of cyclical. I mean, a lot of times it may have happened to their parents.
Yes, you know? Yeah.
Do you find that a lot?
Yes. And then also, like you said, so when you're working with a child, you're also really having a lot of, you're working with their families, you're working with the parents and having a lot of, understanding and that they're going to have the biggest impact on their child's life. And so how they want to support their child, it's the most important that we support them how they want to support their child. And so that is a real strength, I think, of a lot of our programming at HHS, where we I think it's throughout the country and throughout the state that really is the trend to move towards where the family seeing their dreams and helping them realize their dreams and their and how they want to get there. Because my idea of how someone might get there, it might be to go to this therapist and do this, but that might not be someone else might not maybe that's not their way of getting there. Maybe they want to talk to their pastor, or they might want to talk to someone who's in a different town, maybe because of the stigma or so. So that is something that is, I think we all that work at Behavior Health put that in the front of our minds, that we're there to support the families, the parents, and how, with that understanding that you're right, they might have their own mental health, or they might have everybody has mental health, but challenges, and they might, and so we just meet them where they're at.
Team effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, and I think you summed it up best there, Alice. It is kind of teamwork there that you guys put together, right?
Well, and that's the program name for one of the programs that I work with is Coordinated Service Teams, and that's the idea that we build a team with the family. They identify who is supportive to their child. This is a program, you have to be a Richland County. There's some qualifications to be able to have a kiddo be in this program, but a parent can actually refer, schools can refer, and then the family and the kid identify who helps them when they're having those times that they need that support, that extra support. And so then you kind of come up with a plan, and that's what I have the training in, and like having a meeting where we all brainstorm a way to have a plan that might support that kiddo where they're struggling, either at school or home or in the community. So
what you like about your job, Alicia, might be some of those success stories that you've seen over the years, right?
I think that's maybe. I mean, I think I look at the successes more on like today was a success. You know, it's hard for me to, you know, a lot of times I might not know how a story ends because the family might move, and then, or they graduate from my program and they don't need to, I might, you know, wave at them. And I wouldn't wave at them at the pool, but they might wave at me at the pool. And then, but other than that, you know, sharing a laugh with someone on a day that they might be having a hard day, seeing people feel like there's some hope for tomorrow. That I think it's actually those moment to moment successes that are the most uplifting for me.
Yeah, and that's good advice for all of us. You got to live each day, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, most definitely. Why do you think it's important that we do a special month? I know every month is important with your occupation, but May in particular, why is it important?
That's an excellent question.
To make everyone more aware that services are out there, and every day, like one of my favorite sayings in my office clinic is, do something for your mental health today. Mm-hmm. And just to make the community and everybody more aware that it's okay if you're having a bad day, take 5 minutes to yourself, shut everything down, you know, take a walk, whatever you need to do. And I think they finally decided to have it like a month, like Diabetes Awareness Month, is to be able for the community and for us to get out there and let people know services are available and we're here to help. And yeah, you know, like you said, every day we can take that celebration that, you know, just like today, okay, we're getting it out there. Mm-hmm. That's something to celebrate, because 50 years ago we didn't have this.
Right.
People didn't talk about it. People didn't go to their doctor and say, I need help, something's not right, I don't feel right. And look at how far we've come. We still need to go farther, but compared to then, I just think, yeah, I'm great. I think it's wonderful that we have a whole month to, let's push it out there. Let's try to push the stigma aside, and it's okay. You know, it's okay that you're on an antidepressant. It's okay that it's a bad day. Tomorrow's gonna be better.
Yeah, well said.
And I also, I think that framing it as it's everybody has mental health.
Yes.
So some days I have my physical health is, you know, my back hurts a little or I have a sore ankle and sometimes I've got a little depression. You know, it's all part of the health. And so with my back, I might, you know, get a massage or put a little heating pad on my back. With my mental health, I might go take a walk or go and connect with make a phone call of someone who uplifts me and brings me, helps me smile. Or I might reach out to someone who I know needs someone to connect to them. And then that also is good for my mental health to know that I'm reaching out to someone that needs that connection, taking a walk outside. And maybe that's why it's May, because there's so many opportunities to, you know, go out in nature. And then there's all these community events to start going to. It's starting to be light more and it's easier to do those outside things. Kind of leave our winter blues behind if we get those winter blues.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, too. If weather has a factor, I mean, do you see more instances of, you know, issues in the wintertime when we don't get the sunshine and the good daylight and things like that?
I don't have the data. Yeah, that's a public health.
That's Evan.
I was just saying, well, Evan touched on that about
a little
the
bit.
Isolation and the wintertime you can't
get out. Yeah, Evan.
I think there's, I mean, I am by no means a mental health expert. I'm kind of like a jack of all trades in public health. We do a lot of different stuff. But with that, I think there's a difference between like seasonal affective disorder and just like the wintertime blues. I don't know like too much of the difference off the top of my head, but I think wintertime blues is just feeling maybe a little bit more maybe tired than usual and maybe not as able to focus as usual, whereas seasonal affective disorder would be a lot more serious. But I know that that can happen during the winter months, but outside of that, I don't know too much more about it.
I don't have the data in front of me.
Yeah, I don't either.
I just know when you talk about your mental health and you go out in this kind of weather and you take a walk and you get some fresh air, sometimes 5 minutes, that's good for all of us, isn't it?
Yeah, no, for sure.
What are some other things that you want to talk about in terms of maybe getting the community involved and looking at some of the programs that you're passionate about?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things that I wanted to let listeners know about today is that Richland County Public Health, our unit, will be hosting a CHIP implementation kickoff event, and that will be held on Wednesday, May 29th from 10 to 11:30, and that'll be at the Richland County Health and Human Services building. I'm going to try to also host that virtually via Zoom as well to allow really the purpose of it is to allow the community to learn a little bit more about the CHIP, ask questions. And then we do want to have a kind of a mini discussion on stigma at that event as well. And then at the end, it'll allow people that are passionate about getting involved an opportunity to join one of those two work groups that I mentioned before. So mental health work group, and then the substance misuse work group that is in collaboration with the Partners for Prevention. I'm not a mental health expert, but my hope is really to just bring people together that are passionate about making a positive change in the community in those areas. You know, if mental health has impacted your family in some way and you want to make a change and get involved, then I think this would be a great opportunity to do so. Within our CHIP, you'll see there's a lot of different strategies listed off, and these were identified by stakeholders in the community at, you know, past CHIP planning events. So the purpose of the work groups is to really allow people in the community to take an active role in helping change the community in a positive way by, you know, maybe for someone, they know at their work, there's resources that should be translated to Spanish. And so maybe that's something that I can do, you know, this week. So I'll take that strategy and that action. And our role in public health is more to facilitate these discussions. I'm not an expert, and we're not experts that go in and say, these are the things that need to be done. And we're not doing them in public health. Like, I wouldn't be the only person that's going out to do all these strategies. It works better if the community takes charge of that. And that's the purpose of this meeting, is to kind of kick off the implementation of that CHIP. And then after that, the work groups will really dive in on those specific strategies. So that'll be held on Wednesday, May 29th. If anybody is interested in attending that event, you can call me. My number is 608-649-5965 to register. The Richland County Health and Human Services Facebook page should have a a flyer posted on there as well. And there's a QR code. So you can just scan that with your phone and then sign up there. The sign up's just a Google form, so it should be pretty easy to sign up there. And we recommend signing up in advance so that if you're planning on attending in person, we kind of have a head count of who's all going to be there. On the sign up, you can select in person or virtual. So we really want to get people out. If you know people that have had lived experience that maybe have overcome a mental health issue and they're in a good place now and they feel comfortable to talk about that, I think that insight is really important for us as well. So that's kind of my big call to action for anyone that's listening today. So thank you.
Well, that's not a prerequisite that you've had some mental health issues before, but certainly you can relate. You could be a valuable asset for the group, I'm sure, couldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we kind of want to get away from experts that are just telling people what to do. That's not going to facilitate a lot of change. Mm-hmm. So if there's, I don't know what it's like to go through like a substance misuse disorder, use disorder. But somebody that has gone through that, their input will be so valuable for us in the strategies that we do. Even just the approach that we take to those strategies will be really, really important. So yeah, if there's anybody that's interested in getting involved, it'd be a great opportunity.
What's the best way to contact you, Evan?
Yeah, so you can call me at 608-649-5965. I can register for you if you don't want to use the QR code or do it virtually. Otherwise, the Richland County Health and Human Services Facebook page, there should be a flyer posted there that you could scan that QR code to get signed up. But otherwise, my phone number is a great way.
May 29th, the important date there. Alicia, you mentioned there are going to be some students coming in for the Coffee with the Chamber and different things going on next week, right?
Yeah, I believe that's, and I'm not the chamber person, but I believe that's Tuesday morning. And I think that the last I heard was that there'll be a couple students from Ithaca, and then I'll be there. And again, Evan will be there. So that's, I guess, the only date I have.
Okay. Important. I know you work closely, you know, with schools and school faculty to kind of keep in tune and things,
and
too, don't you?
Actually, the group that that I talked about, the ACEs Prevention and Mistreatment, that group is almost all of us are from the school. So, and I also work with my program with the schools. So that has been a really, really valuable partnership that I've really appreciated.
Very important things for our community. Alice, anything that you'd like to add? If I call up, I'm interested in what I've heard today. Are you the first person I talk to?
Maybe. Richland County Health and Human Services has so many resources available and events coming up and things planned. If you're not sure which one to talk to, I would just call the direct number at 647-8821 and ask the front desk, you know, what you're interested in, whether it be, oh, I heard on the radio about some chips or something. They can direct all the calls of what you need, but just basically to let the community know that there are numerous resources that they might not be aware of that someone at our county Health and Human Services can connect them with, whether it be the ADRC, Children's. They just might not know that we have a program that might help them.
Right. And we've learned that it's not putting a chip in somebody.
Exactly. We
know that's right. That's right. Right. Not a bag of chips either.
Not a bag of chips either. Well, we appreciate you all coming in here because I can see your passion for what you do, and it's really needed. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Joining us today, we have Evan Ewing in the studio with us. We have Alicia Woodhouse and also Alice Lawrence Retram. We're going to have more about the topic coming up here on The Morning Show.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette from the Prescription Center. We want to thank all of our longtime friends who have put their trust in us to manage their family's health. We want to thank our increasing number of new friends who have learned just how special we treat our friends. We do realize you can go anywhere or use mail order. We want you to choose us every day. We know copays are the same for any pharmacy in town. However, we feel we provide a superior value for your dollars. If you find our prices higher, we will match prices for all medications. We check to see if any of your prescriptions have dollar off coupons from the manufacturer. These coupons actually put money back in your pocket. If your current pharmacy does not do this, give us a call. We know your time is valuable. When you call ahead, your prescriptions are ready when you stop. I guarantee you will never wait in our drive-thru. Okay, we do not have a drive-thru. The Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Hi, this is Dan Miller, Okooch Books and Libations at 130 South Main, downtown Richland Center. We've got a lot of new books in. Since I sold my old building, I got some cash and I bought a bunch. Same thing is true with wines. I'm looking for some wine shelving to expand my wine department. Okooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. Always something new. I can prove it. 130 South Main, downtown Richland Center.
Don't let urologic problems affect your quality of life. Gunderson Bosquel's board-certified urologist, Dr. Katie Trandum, brings help and hope to Bosquel. Dr. Trandum specializes in conditions affecting the bladder, kidneys, prostate, and urinary tract in children and adults and provides expert care close to home. To schedule a urology consult with Dr. Trandum, talk to your provider today. Gunderson Bosquel, bringing love plus medicine to you.
On the second part of our morning show today, we're going to kind of dovetail it into what we talked about in the first half with the professionals from Health and Human Services. But joining us is Lisa Goff, who's with the Richland School District, a school psychologist. You've been here before a few times, Lisa. Always good to have you in the studio.
Oh, thank you, Phil. Yes, it's fun to be here.
Yeah, on a rainy day. So,
yes.
Does it seem like the school year has gone by quickly?
Sort of. I mean, there's different points within the school year where it's like the start of the year, and then it kind of slows, and then all of a sudden we're in May, and it's just like a mad rush to get everything done before the end of the school year.
Is there a correlation between good weather and you know, maybe some tough days in January and February, you know, with as far as mental health and things like that that you see?
I think so. I mean, I just think that like kids sometimes aren't as productive. I mean, they're just not as energetic, or even like the adults, you know, it's just kind of like if we don't have sunshine for a few days like that, that kind of wears on you.
And it does as us for us adults, too,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
So what are some things that you wanted to talk about today and tying it in with our earlier conversation?
So I would like to share some things that our primary school and our intermediate school do just in regards to the students' mental health, staff mental health, and then just working with families, making those connections. So, for instance, at the primary building, they use the second step curriculum, and that is a curriculum that is being used at the intermediate, and just recently we're looking at getting it so it's going all the way up through high school. So it'll be the same curriculum, it's just the skills that they're working on are going to be a little bit different. So some of the skills that they work on at the primary school are foundational skills. So that's like how to focus, whole body listening, using positive self-talk, and using an assertive posture and a tone of voice. So like when someone maybe is picking on them at recess and they ask them to stop, your tone of voice sometimes will get a better, so, you know, like when you're being more assertive and you're using a stronger tone of voice, that can get that individual to understand you need to stop now, as compared to using just like a softer voice, and kids don't often, you know, they won't listen to that. But if you use something more firm and you're more assertive, they're going to stop what they're doing.
Is this kind of a thing to thwart off bullying and whatnot?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Or when kids want them to do something that they know that they shouldn't do. And so that's just something that they're taught, that use a firm voice and let them know they need to stop.
Sometimes it's hard for all of us, though, you know, if that's not our personality, our nature, isn't it?
Right. Yep. So it's just helping these kids to understand, you know, maybe they don't need it necessarily in the primary building, but maybe in the intermediate or as they get older. Could be even with, you know, your own siblings, something like that. Mm-hmm. But those are the foundational skills that we have found that are very important for these younger kids. And as they learn them, and it's not like a one and done lesson, it's something that is repeated each year. As they go through primary, and then when they get into the intermediate, those skills are also reinforced as well. So it's something that they continually just have as a tool in their toolbox.
You mentioned a second step curriculum then?
Yes.
Did we cover that or what that entails?
So second step is a social-emotional learning curriculum. And we use that. It actually goes 4K. And just recently, they have created a high school curriculum. So and it's tailored for the age levels in regards to the skills that they teach. And so we start that at 4K, and we're hopefully next year, then we'll be working, the school counselors will be working with the high school students and staff in regards to that curriculum.
Okay.
So they do this on a weekly basis. So the school counselors will go into the classroom once a week, and they have a lesson. It's scripted. It's got some visuals and some activities that they practice. I know they do like breathing activities and movement activities as well, just because we're finding that these kids need to get up and move, and that once they do that, that helps them be able to sit down and focus and attend and be good listeners.
I would think those are popular segments for the kids in the classroom. It's kind of a break from the regular thing and routine, and maybe some fun activities.
And I know in the primary level, they have puppets to go along with it, too, so the kids really enjoy the puppets as well.
I'll bet. Do you get involved with the puppet show or not?
I used to, but I don't anymore. So
it's a fun way to get the point across, though.
Yes,
so
it is.
We heard from Health and Human Services on the first part of the show. How much do you work with them and all the things that they offer to the community?
That is something that we continually are working at in regards to just building that connection. So when we do have families that are struggling or in crisis, we know that we can refer them to HHS, and hopefully they can do a little bit of wraparound or offer some supports for them as well. I know that Alicia Woodhouse has the CCS CST program, so that's a wonderful program that just wraps around these families, and then the school gets involved in that as part of the team, and that way then everyone gets on the same page, and everyone's working just to support the family and the student so the student is successful at school.
I'm guessing that's so helpful for the school district as well to have those resources available,
right? And that is something that we are continually working at, is just building those connections. I know over at the intermediate, they do, and I love the idea of this, but they're doing telehealth. So the kids, well, families will sign their students up for to have therapy. And instead of being taken out of school to a therapy appointment, so then they're missing instruction and all of that, telehealth, now the kids go into a room and then they do the therapy at school in a room by themselves on a computer.
Oh, that's awesome. I did not know. How long has that existed?
That just started this year, and actually it has taken off and has been a huge, huge asset for so many families to be able to have their student or their child have the therapy at school. And that way then, you know, they don't have to worry about driving someplace or taking off of work themselves. This way then they can have the therapy, and it's the student then can go right back to class or whatever. But Mrs. Teff, the school counselor up there, has helped facilitate all of that and just continues. So I thought 14, 15 kids are having that opportunity. So that is something that I think is just fabulous for so many families and students.
Yeah, that's a resource that's I think is going to be real valuable moving ahead. Something, you know, we talk about progress in education. I think that's a real step in the right direction.
Yeah, Ben, and I know because a lot of times, depending on where the therapy is at, the student ends up missing, you know, could be half a day or, you know, just kind of depends because parents are going to get the appointments wherever they can. And then the parents don't have to worry about taking off of work or anything, and the student is missing less instruction, so.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and why do you feel that that is an important thing to look at and recognize?
Because I think we all struggle with our own mental health, and we need to find those supports in our own. So I was just sitting there thinking about that because, like, at the intermediate school, they do sources of strength. And the whole premise behind that is to know what your strengths are. So when you are in a crisis or you're struggling, you know to fall back on your strengths. So it could be religion. It could be family support, or it could be exercise. So it's finding your strengths so that when you do have a crisis or you're struggling, you can fall back on those things and remember, and not just, you know, I just think that we all need to know who we have for supports and lean on those supports when we need them and not feel that we can manage through this on our own. And so I think we just all have to be mindful of that and find what we can do to not only support ourselves, but to support others so that, and not be proactive and not reactive.
I'm guessing there are some courses that you go to, like, regularly, don't you, to kind of re-up every summer?
There's trainings that I go to just so that I can add some tools to my toolbox. I know I've got an autism training that I'm going to in June. And then there's another one that several of us are going to just because it to help support students or to offer some additional support to staff. When they're struggling with some students in the classroom, whether it be attention or behaviors or they're just not getting their work done. So it's just finding some additional supports to help in those specific areas.
The COVID year, again, kind of put a damper on a lot of things. But we're kind of getting a little bit over that now, aren't we, in terms? Or are you still seeing some of the effects of that?
I think we will always see the effects of COVID with kids. And I think just as our world evolves, I mean, we know that technology is becoming more and more prevalent. And so kids are, you know, like going outside and playing or putting a puzzle together or sitting down as a family and playing board games. You know, I think those things aren't, for some families, that just isn't something. The kids come home from school and they get on their electronics and that's their evening. So I just think that, we're always going to see, I think we'll always have those effects of COVID. But hopefully, like with all these different programs and the supports we put into place, we kind of help these kids realize that electronics are not necessarily the answer, and to find some other things that you like to do for enjoyment and exercise, you know, things like that. So,
as a family, I think the word structure is pretty important, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Very much so, because when kids know what to expect, they know parents' rules and expectations, they tend to do better. And I think just as a family, you do better because everyone knows this is what's expected. This is how things are going to work. Just like in the school setting, I mean, everything is pretty structured. The day looks pretty much the same. And if things change, the kids know about it, because we are seeing more where these kids, when you change things, they don't transition well into that change. And so giving them a heads up and letting them know, and I think the same thing, you know, within a family. If something is going to change, then, you know, let's talk about it. And I know within our Strengthening Families program that we've been doing this spring, so this is the second session that we've had. We had one in the fall, one in the spring, but we talk about, you know, like family meetings and sitting down and having that discussion of, so what does our week look like? who's going, you know, what activities are going on, where do people need to be, and to me, I feel like that gives the child a voice, and they get heard, and the parents are being heard, and everyone's working together as a family unit, and they learn to give compliments to each other, you know, just that's part of their family meeting. They start out with compliments. But I think that's just important to be able to, for families to be able to sit down. And then the kids, I think, feel like, okay, I am part of this family. I'm not just being told. Now I get to, okay, yep, I have this. I have a game on Tuesday night, and oh, mom has a meeting on Wednesday night, and Thursday night we're going to sit down and have a family meal together type of thing. So I do think that, you know, those things are important.
There was a story on this morning about screen time, and it was talking about, and not only picking on students, but adults too, but especially with the iPhone, and you're looking at it at night, and then a correlation with poor sleep, because you can't turn the brain off.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the same thing for parents and students, is maybe regulate that a little bit, put that away, or keep it in the other room or something when you go to bed.
Yeah, I would agree. And I know I've been watching that too. I've seen different articles on the research is starting to come out now in regards to all the electronics and the screen time, and for it, how it's changing brains for students and stuff, for kids, even adults, how it's changing their brains because they're spending so much time on this. Mm-hmm. So yeah, sleeping, and especially I think almost like now, because it's lighter out later. And so when kids have to go to bed when it's still light out, you know, for them, they've got to adjust. And so we are seeing some kids who, and they're tired by the afternoon at school. And you can kind of see that with them, and just,